Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Blake Anderson, new head coach at Utah State, will join us coming up here in just a moment. Their spring game was wrapped up on Saturday. A lot to break down, a lot to talk about as the Aggies now get set for off-season conditioning and then getting ready for fall camp, which is just about 4 months away. Be here before you know it.
I'll bet his world's spinning, man. He's had a lot to do in a little time going up to Logan and trying to fix things.
Yeah.
He's got to be a fixer.
All right, joining us now, he's the new head coach at Utah State. Spring ball in the books, and we get a chance to break it all down. Coach Blake Anderson, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Hey, Coach.
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, man, it's always good to catch up. All right, so now that spring ball's over, can you take a little bit of a breather? Because I got to imagine it's been drinking like from a fire hose the last few months for you.
Well, just changes, just drinking a different flavor. Now we move right into recruiting. I mean, the next couple months are going to be a mad dash for recruiting, especially with the NCAA coming out with the allowances of evaluations and camps and unofficial visits and official visits during the month of June. So it's just going to be a different type of crazy.
You know, Coach, I've seen you haven't just put your toe into the pool of that transfer portal. You've put your whole leg in up to your hip on this. I mean, you're not testing it. You're owning it right now. And I'm curious to kind of get your feel through spring. Do you feel like it's going to be a usable portal for you?
Well, it already has been. I mean, we obviously had relationships with a lot of these guys that we brought in. But there were needs. There were some depth issues and some inexperienced issues at a lot of different positions, and we were able to attack those with the transfers that we already brought in, and we were lucky to be one of the programs out there that still has a few spots still left to fill in that way. So we're gonna you know, kind of look at what's available and guys that we think fit our culture, but guys that can come impact the team immediately, just different than a freshman out of high school is going to be able to do.
Got to imagine that's probably the path going forward, and probably already was, considering transfers were already kind of a big part of the game, is kind of holding on to a few spots, just not knowing, you know, when a guy might open up and might be available.
Well, when they change the rule, and I think clearly more people will look into the portal that are unhappy where they're at or need a fresh start or have had a staff change or whatever, I would expect that guys will try to hold this couple spots back. Now, you can't hold a lot. You got to go ahead and just kind of go through the typical cycle. But having a couple in your back pocket is not a bad idea.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Coach, back in the day, when I was playing back in the late 90s, early 2000s, it felt like JUCO was kind of the go-to. Rick's College was where BYU would pull a lot of talent out. Do you do a lot of JUCO searches anymore?
We still look. We obviously didn't sign anybody here this year from, it's, you know, Arian Peoples is a JUCO defensive tackle. But, you know, what you do find is if you start looking for a veteran player and you've got a guy that made the grades out of high school that's already been playing at the Division I level as opposed to a guy that's at a junior college that maybe didn't make the grades and has been playing at the junior college level, just kind of weighing those two against each other, you tend to lean towards a guy that's played at this Division I level already. But we did have a lot of success in the 7 years I was at Arkansas State with a ton of guys out of the Kansas JUCO ranks, several from California as well, and a couple from Texas. So I'm not opposed to it. We just want to be deliberate about who we take. We want them to have the right personality, fit our culture, guys that that have developed and really matured. And so we'll still do that some, but the transfer rules have made it where the Division I transfer is definitely more on the forefront of what you're doing just because of the availability.
So let's recap spring ball a little bit. I was up there for the game on Saturday, and the one thing that really jumped out at me, and we can talk X's and O's and defense and offense, but, man, there was a lot of juice in that stadium. And when the defense was getting stops, especially early on in that scrimmage, guys are flying around, guys are having a good time. And is that coached up? Is that you know, personality traits that you recruit to? Because it was a lot of fun to watch the energy out there on the field.
Well, I think it starts with the coaches and the staff. I mean, if they're guys that stand around at practice, if they're guys that coach with their hands in their pockets, if they're slow-moving, quiet, even-tempoed guys. I think that's what the team looks like, and that goes all the way to the strength staff. But in every room, we've got coaches that love the game, have a ton of passion, and are willing to fly around, and it's contagious. None bigger than Paul Jackson, our head strength coach, and his staff. It all bleeds out to the field. And so I tell my guys, I don't want any coaches standing still. And if you watch a typical practice, they're flying around. Any of the stuff that we put out on social media, it's probably subtle, and maybe people don't really identify with it when they first see it. But if you went back and looked at it, you would see coaches flying around everywhere. And it just creates the environment that we want. And hopefully that goes real well with the style of play offensively and defensively as well. And I think the fans are going to be able to see that and feel it and hopefully really, really enjoy it.
Saw one touchdown where Chucky almost made it in the end zone before the guy did. Chucky still got some speed.
He does have speed. Now, he's not much for endurance, but he's pretty good for one sprint.
He doesn't have the lungs anymore, huh?
No, he's getting old quick.
Coach, back in the times and just different cities that I go play football in, I my parents or friends would call and be like, how do you like Indianapolis or how do you like New Orleans? And I'd say, well, I could tell you how the practice facility looks, and that's about it. Have you been able to explore Logan and get out and get around a little bit, or have you just been locked in and working?
No, you know, honestly, with some of the rules that we were put under during the recruiting cycle where we couldn't get out and kids couldn't come to campus, it actually did benefit us being able to have some time to get out and about. So we've been to the ski slopes, we've been to Powder and Beaver, and done some snowboarding and skiing. We've had a chance to just take some drives and obviously looked at a lot of houses and stuff and neighborhoods, but eating at a lot of restaurants. I've been beyond excited about what we've got and just all the things that are available, but that is not typical. Normally you would be just covered up with recruiting the whole time. With the rules the way they've been, it allowed some time for us to get out and about and do some things you wouldn't normally get to do.
I'm just going to tell you, Scotty and I here are Cache County honks. That is our stomping ground. We want to keep it a secret. It's like a great fishing hole. We want to keep it a secret, but you got to admit that is some of the most gorgeous country and some of the best people on this earth.
No doubt. Great people. We've just come across more and more folks that have just kind of been over backwards to try to help us get acclimated and tell us where to go eat and what school and what church and what park. It's been amazing. And a ton of Aggie fans. That's the other thing, is being in the valley and kind of being squeezed between the two mountain ranges. There's a lot of Aggie fans right here at home. And I've always wanted to be in a college town, in a place that had its own fan base. And I've been really fired up about what we have and what we can do with this group here.
The defense really jumped out at me, and I know the offense got it going on a little bit later on in the scrimmage, but out of the gate, your defense looks like it's got a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism. Give me your thoughts on what you're going to look like defensively, because I came away really impressed with what I saw on Saturday.
Well, we want to get after folks. You know, we kind of take that approach. We don't want to sit back and wait. We want to get after them. Speed, as you mentioned, is a big, big part of that. We did not have everybody. We're missing some guys that are going to help add to that. And we do feel like we can add a few pieces of the puzzle over the course of the summer. But we want to move. We want to fly to the ball. I don't know that we completely understand that yet. It's gotten better from day one to day 15. But that is something that summer conditioning and really what Paul does in the offseason can help, maybe defensively more than anywhere, because that's all personality, being able to get 11 hats to the ball kind of in a bad mood. But I think Ephraim and the staff did a great job of getting the foundation laid, and I think the kids are excited about us letting them run, letting them hit, letting them cut loose. There's no reading. It's hit your gap and go and kind of be mad when you get to the ball. So it was a good glimpse, and you're right. They had the offensive number of the first half. I thought they got tired a little bit, and that's where the summer off season is huge to be able to play longer than we did, on Saturday during that scrimmage. You could tell in the second half of that they got tired. Play started becoming more and more explosive, and they couldn't hold serve at the end. So we've got a lot of work in that area of being able to play longer, harder longer, get more hats to the ball deep into the game.
Coach, can you give us just a little bit more information on some of the talent that you're leaning on as leadership?
You know, I was surprised, you know, with the circumstances under which we took the job, and just with COVID and not having the year they had, and then just the dynamic of some of the frustration with the process, I've been really, really pleased at the personality of the team. And you got guys like Nick Henninger and Metzenheimer at the linebacker spot, and Marcus Moore up front, and Holly, those guys, Cam Lampkin on defense, on offense. I think there's a number of guys in South and Edwards on the O-line, and even a guy like Dolphin. You've got some guys that are veterans, mature guys that have been really, really vocal and just kind of been great leaders. A guy like DT that was considering leaving that came back and just outworked everybody every day. Those guys are the ones we're building around. But then you see a guy like Byron Vollins, who goes out there and just his energy is contagious. That's something I think if you were watching the scrimmage of the last couple scrimmages, he just makes play after play, and his motor never stops. You know, we didn't get the luxury of getting Bonner out on the field during the spring, but his presence and Brandon Bowling, those guys over there on the offensive side of the ball, I think those were huge as well. So I think we'll see some guys emerge, too, that maybe haven't been put in that role before, that over the course of the summer, as we get into offseason and really kind of turn the program over to them to some degree, it'll be interesting to see who steps up.
You know, there's sometimes when you bring in P5 guys, transfers, you know, you might have some, you know, some that feel like, well, I came from this school and this is the way we did it, and that was a great school, and this is the way, and so, you know, they come in with maybe a certain level of entitlement. From the people I've talked to up there, it seems like that's not the case with these guys that you brought in from some of these P5 schools.
I have not seen any of that from this group, and it's also something we preach every day. You know, our core values are being selfless, being tough, and being accountable, and we really, really start with selfless. And tell these guys, look, we chose to be here. You chose to be here. Make this home. Doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter if things went well or things went bad. This is home now, and I've been pleased with these guys just buying into what we're doing and how we're doing it, and just the place itself. Having a chance to meet with a lot of them over the last week, now that we're kind of finishing up, most of them will say everything exceeded my expectations, and that's really where you want it to be. It's not always a given, so I think we're moving in the right direction, but we did not bring entitled guys into the room. We felt like we brought guys that would care about the team, and that's what it seems to be showing out on the field with this group.
Kind of an interesting situation for Utah State, new football coach and a new basketball coach. Have you had a chance to meet Ryan Odom yet?
I have. Got a chance to visit a little bit, and I know his track record. He's done a great job. Hated to see Craig go. Was doing a phenomenal job, obviously, and had gotten to know him a little bit. But Ryan will do a great job as well. And I know he's hit the ground running. Just listening to the players, they're excited about the hire and excited about where things are heading.
Blake Anderson, new coach at Utah State, joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. You're down to 7 O-linemen for that spring game. Do you feel comfortable that guys are going to be back and ready to go by the time fall rolls around?
I do. You know, we had some bumps and bruises that held guys out, but nothing, no season-ending injuries. We didn't have a guy that tore his knee up, is going to miss the season. Everything was, even the surgeries that we were kind of forced on us, all those guys should be well before the fall, should be at full strength. We just need to be smart in the summer with the offseason that we don't create any other issues. But I think we came out of it fairly healthy, and we got after it. We banged a pretty good bit. We had a lot of live work, and that's not a given that you're going to come out of it healthy.
Do you, as a first-year coach and trying to evaluate your guys, do you may go a little bit harder in spring this year than maybe in years going forward just to try to get a better picture of what you got in the cupboards?
Well, you definitely want to see what they're capable of and who's going to fight through adversity and, you know, who's going to come back the next day and after maybe a bad day and respond, or how's the guy going to respond to a good day. So we wanted to challenge them. We were cautious a little bit just because of this last year has been so strange for everybody. We were a little bit deliberate about how we approached it. We didn't want to overdo it. Definitely didn't want to create issues. So we got enough live work to get a good idea of what we have, but mainly just focused on them getting to know us getting to know them, and getting a foundation built. And I think in that sense, we got that done.
Coach, you excited to compete in the Mountain West Conference? I mean, right out of your first year, you've got the top two teams from last year's season, San Jose State and Boise State, on this schedule. And luckily, you don't have to fly out to the island. Hawaii comes out to you. But, you know, tough. It's going to be a tough schedule. I think it's going to be tough conference play. Are you excited to compete in this thing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I enjoyed my time in the Mountain West when I was in New Mexico. I know it's changed a good bit. You know, even Utah State wasn't in the league back then, but I think it's good ball. Watched a bunch of the teams in this league and know it's going to be tough to compete, but I'm excited. This group is going to be competitive. You know, we're not going to come out and make a bunch of predictions about how many we're going to win or what we're going to win, but I know this, they will fight, they will work. We've got some talent in some areas that will be tough to defend, and I think what we're adding to it, in terms of recruiting and then culture and in the off-season program, we're going to be tough to beat. And I couldn't be more excited about seeing them play.
I know everybody wants to ask you about quarterbacks, so we'll go there. You got Logan Bonner, who you mentioned wasn't able to participate in spring, but you got Cooper Laga, Andrew Peasley. Is that an open competition going into fall?
It is. I mean, I hated that Logan wasn't able to compete. Obviously, I'm familiar with him. He's spent the last 5 years with me, but I thought Andrew and Coop both did a great job and got better every day. They both bring different things to the table. We're clearly not in a position yet to really decide who that guy is going to be, and we'll compete all the way into fall camp. But the competition makes it better, and it gives them a great deal of time over the summer to really perfect the little things that they need to work on. And seeing the guys make big, big jumps over the course of the summer, you know, that we'll sit down and meet with them, explain to them the things that we like, the things we don't. And they can make a lot of ground up over the course of the summer. So I'm excited about watching that group. I think we're in good position, though. A lot of folks don't have one good solid quarterback. I think we've got three right now, and then some young guys that are developing. And we'll have a good competition in fall and kind of make some decisions a little bit later.
Well, Coach, always a pleasure to catch up. Looking forward to doing it again here very soon. And enjoy. Well, I guess there really is no downtime, but I'm just glad that you got spring over with, and looking forward to talking more football in the summer.
Enjoy the recruiting.
There you go. Enjoy the recruiting. How about that?
There you go. Enjoy the recruiting. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Blake Anderson, head coach at Utah State.
Enjoy flying all over the country, talking to young kids.
As of June 1, the floodgates are open.
I don't know how much the head coach flies all over the country, but they got to close some deals.
Oh, yeah?
Got to get in and close some deals. Right out of the gates, man, in Pullman. Washington State. That's going to be a fun opener.
I will. You finally, you know, you got Nick Rolovich up there now.
Then you've got UND and then BYU 2 weeks after that. You guys, Utah State's going to start their league play after their second non-conference game with Air Force. Then Boise State and BYU back-to-back.
I'm telling you, that first half of the schedule is rough.
Ouch. Is San Jose State going to be as good as they were? Remember, San Jose State in the shortened season was a big story.
San Jose State, they'll come back down to earth.
Okay. Did they lose that quarterback there? Because that was
I think so, yeah. I think they lost a lot of players off of that.
Because that team was pretty fun, pretty exciting.
They were fun, and I love the fact that they were good. Hey, by the way, so Jeopardy has announced its final group of guest hosts to close out season 37. So you've heard from Aaron Rodgers. Apparently Dr. Oz did a couple weeks. You ready for these? Robin Roberts. Good Morning America?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've completely quit that show.
Really?
Yeah, you know, for 5 years.
I know. You were all in on GMA.
They just.
You're Hodor?
No, Hoda. Not Hoda.
I
didn't watch Hoda.
Kathy Lee.
Watch Good Morning America. And then,
well, guess what? You got another Good Morning America.
Turned into a trash show.
You got George Stephanopoulos.
Oh, come on. I stopped watching to get away from those two.
He gets it.
David Faber? I don't know who that is.
I don't either. Never heard of him.
Hold on a second. I got to Google David.
Why are they wasting their time with all this? They know who the next guest is.
David Faber is an American financial journalist and market news analyst for CNBC.
They're trying to blow this thing up.
Boring. Jeez, what a waste. a waste of 2 weeks. Get Aaron Rodgers, give him another couple weeks. Then Joe Buck gets his two-week run. And then one more. LeVar
got a
shot.
Oh, LeVar Burton. Him and his little ploy to get in. He had a petition to sign. People signed a petition.
Oh, man.
Jeopardy's like, no, we're not interested. And then he's got like 8 signatures. I guess we better bend.
So sure it wasn't just 8 signatures.
Social pressure.
These nerds want LeVar.
I so hope he wears the visor, though. The glasses.
Oh, man. Just see George Stephanopoulos like getting into it and then being like, and now we'll throw it over to the Speaker of the House. Blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, man, how did this get political, George? It's a trivia show. Please. Yeah. Stop.
Have some. There's no fun about any of those guys.
Oh, I know.
You know they're not going to make the right choice, right?
All of them have an agenda except for one.
Aaron Bleepin' Rodgers.
Rodgers. He doesn't have an agenda.
Just loves the show.
That's it.
Just wants to have a good time.
And he's going to bring sports fans to the yard.
Yeah. Look.
And he'll bring.
We saw the ratings. They were up like 14%.
He's easy on the eyes too. So he makes it easy to watch.
I know.
He's handsome.
Well, I mean, they're all decent looking people.
Nope. No, that's not true. George isn't.
I don't know. I don't know.
Robin isn't.
Joe Buck?
He's nice looking. He's got gray hair.
Yeah.
When he feathers it.
It's kind of leaving him a little bit. He's got to get those plugs back in there.
He does the ducktail in the back.
Yep.
David Faber kind of looks like the main character on The League.
Jordy's
that's
not,
who he kind of looks
Jordy's
like.
Not cute or handsome. Neither one.
Jordy's not?
Uh-uh.
Sure, he's handsome.
Oh, come on. He's a.
He's no, handsome. He's not. No, he's not.
David Faber's a handsome. He's got, boy, David Faber's got a good head of hair on him.
All right, now I got to look up David.
Hold on.
Show me the picture.
I think it's fake.
Yeah, that's all he has.
Yeah, he's handsome.
Though. Just the hair.
He looks like, show me that one more time. Who's the ESPN host that he looks like?
He's a cookie cutter. They look like all the same.
Why don't you guys stand up for one of your guys? What's a bald guy that should be doing it? Let's go with the guy with hair.
Yeah.
He looks like Craig, what's his name? Not Sager.
All these people with hair, heck, they get everything.
They do get everything. I wouldn't buy a car from any of these guys. That's for darn sure.
Okay, well, let's
well, who do
somebody.
We have? Like,
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. What, Trent Dilfer? Can he do it? No.
Maybe.
Ed O'Neill? Not Ed O'Neill. Ed Harris? Made that mistake yesterday.
Wait, I think Ed O'Neill has no hair either. Like he's balding.
I mean, Urlacher can't do it anymore because he's got hair. Urlacher.
You're talking about a bald host?
Yeah. I'm going to get Dr. Phil in. Nobody wants to see that. Hey, look, you know what? Here's the thing.
Is Yul Brynner still around?
No, I think Yul's been gone for a while. Look, if they're bringing in what's-his-name with the visor, then they brought to bring in Picard.
That's what I was just going to say.
Jean-Luc?
Yeah.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Fair is fair.
Yul Brynner, huh?
Yul Brynner.
Are you saying he's going to guest host? Who are you saying? Are you saying Ed Harris is going to guest
host? No, Lloyd's just saying that a bald guy should get a shot. So we're just throwing out random bald dudes that we can think of.
I'm just bringing this out for you guys.
Yeah, Urlacher's out. Everybody's doing the plugs, man. What about the Die Hard guy?
Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis.
Bruce can't act his way out of a paper bag
these
days.
He would be a terrible host.
He'd be awful.
Would never prepare.
No.
And he
what are you doing? Why are you running down our diehard guy?
Bruce, because he wouldn't be a good host.
He would be a terrible host.
You killed his acting.
His work as of late hasn't
Bruce
been good.
Bruce Willis.
I love Bruce Willis. Don't get me wrong, but come on. Name me a good movie he's been in lately.
Die Hard, it's all that matters.
I know, lately. I love Die Hard. I'm just saying he's probably not in a good point in his life where he'd be any good at this.
Is
he's like Demi Moore left me for 400.
Jeez, man.
My kids hate my guts for 500.
Demi and Ashton were together way too long for 500.
For a younger guy.
Cougars on the prowl for 600. Is Telly Savalas still...
I don't think he's with
Telly
us.
Is Telly Savalas still around?
I don't think so.
Yule and Telly are out. Well, who do we have left? Gosh, man.
All right, now we're going to Google.
We're screwed.
Bald people.
Don't Google bald people. What about the famous singer Moby?
Moby? What has Moby done in the last 20 years?
Well, he was big, though. Well, he was big earlier than 20.
By the way, Terry Savalas died in 94. He's been gone for like 27 years.
Telly Savalas has been gone since 1994?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Vin Diesel. Oh.
No. No. Nope.
And Yul Brynner died in 1985.
Vin Diesel. Meat you can eat raw for 200.
Who? Yul Brynner died in 1985.
Holy crap!
Yeah, yeah. Only 65 when he died.
We've lost all the great bald ones.
Yeah, I know.
About Andre Agassi.
Do bald people typically have shorter lives?
Ooh. That's not great to hear.
Well, when Telly Savalas is dying that long ago.
All right, Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Well, apparently if you're bald and you have a short lifespan, you better make it count. And Andrew Reinhart's here to help if you've got any issues with any ED. Andrew, how are you?
I am doing well. Yes, I've got to make every second count, especially in the bedroom. And that is what Wasatch Medical Clinic does. Most guys have heard us talk about this. The two most advanced forms of acoustic wave therapy that we use, all the clinical studies, and how many guys we've helped turn back the clock in the bedroom. This is a game changer. And I think that someday the pill may be a thing of the past. We're kind of transitioning to this. This is clinically shown to open up and regrow blood vessels in this part of the body. And if you think about it, erectile dysfunction, it's just a blood flow issue. More blood flow is a great thing. That's what our treatments do. And usually it only takes a few treatments over 2 to 3 weeks. So let's call that, you know, first part of May, middle of May. You could throw the pills away, get the frequency and the intimacy back on track.
801-901-8000. Make that phone call right now, 801-901-8000. You always bring a lot of free to the table, including that free assessment.
We do. And this is a good chance to see if you're a good candidate for the treatments. Also, to decide if you like the doctor, like what you hear. There's no obligation, but you can come in, do an assessment and an exam, a blood flow ultrasound free. You get the little gift that produces immediate results. That's great. And new patients get free testosterone. If you're feeling like you're lacking a little drive, we have got that covered as well in no charge.
801-901-8000. Call right now, 801-901-8000 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Time now to welcome in John Beck, the former BYU quarterback, now a QB coach.
I wanted to ask you about the intangibles because it seems like Zach Wilson really wants it. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. I do believe that Zach Wilson has a great mindset, a great work ethic. There are times I almost feel like I'm talking to my younger self. And maybe that's why Zach and I feel like we click so well and connect so well, because I can say something in a way that it's as if I'm giving my 20-year-old self advice on this end, and it works for Zach, and he totally gets it. And I think that that's why this has been, you know, such a good thing, and I'm super excited for the future. I do believe that Zach Wilson does so many right things. I believe the way that he has his makeup set right now is putting him in a good place, and then he's going to have to keep working at it.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Recall.
Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview, or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans?
Recall.
It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show.
Recall.
It's Total Recall with Hanson Scott.
Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. By the way, NFL owners have approved a proposal to expand the use of single-digit numbers. So now a kicker and a quarterback can have, or a punter, can be number 1 through number 19. A running back, tight end, or wide receiver can be number 1 through 49, or 80 through 89. Defensive back, 1 through 49. Linebackers 1 through 59 or 90 through 99. Offensive linemen, you don't get single digits. Plus, that doesn't look, single digits don't look good on a big body. You need double digits on that, some of those guts.
D linemen get single digits?
No single digits for D linemen. So, O linemen 50 to 79, D linemen 50 to 79 or 90 through 99.
D linemen are 50 through 79?
They can be 50 through 79 and then also 90 through 99.
Okay.
Information you need to know right here on the Zone Sports Network. I don't know why this is a big deal. Players, though, they take their numbers pretty seriously.
Some.
And if they develop something in college that they like, they want to be able to take it to the NFL, I suppose.
Some take it really seriously.
You saw probably some money exchange when free agents or people came into town that wanted a certain number.
Yeah, I think $30,000, $50,000.
Dang.
Depending on who has the number. Some guys will give their number for free, depending on what the situation is. Most of the time, if it's a, you know, rookie, second, third-year guy, the veteran will flip him some cash because they know.
He needs it.
Yeah, it's more important to them than it is some other big-time veteran. A lot of times, they know they won't get it away from a big-time veteran. But there is definitely some money exchanged.
All right, time for Total Recall, recapping some of the big moments of today's show, including our conversation right out of the gate with Tony Pauline from the Believe Network NFL Draft Analyst and his thoughts on the upcoming NFL Draft.
Is there any chance of a surprise in the first one or two picks?
No, definitely not one. I would say with the New York Jets, you never know, but Joe Douglas seems to run a pretty steady ship there. You know, I think they, and I've said for the longest time, they're sold on Zach Wilson. He's the perfect fit for the offense that they're going to implement there. He's a guy with a good upside. He's also a guy that's playing great football, and when you draft a quarterback, in my opinion, you want to get a guy that's on the upswing, and Wilson checks all those boxes.
Can you kind of walk us all through here in this state? Because we're all very closely attached or associated or excited to see what happens with Zach Wilson. What type of help does he have there?
Not a whole heck of a lot. I mean, it's been, you know, the Mike Maccagnan regime for the New York Jets was disastrous, and I think it was capped off, you know, a week and a half ago when they traded Sam Darnold. That was really the final piece. I mean, last year, Joe Douglas drafted Mekhi Becton with the first pick, with their pick in round one, who's turning out to be a terrific left tackle. So it seems like Wilson will have a solid blindside protector there. They drafted Denzel Mims in the second round, who, when he was healthy, you know, played very, very well. They signed Corey Davis in the offseason. They've got some other Jamison Crowder, who's a good slot receiver. They do need a lot of help on the offensive line. They've got to get the running back situation figured out, and they got to get a tight end. They thought they had one in Chris Herndon 3 years ago, but his game is kind of regressed since then, both on and off the field. So there are still a lot of pieces. I guess the good news is, it's a good news, bad news scenario. The bad news is Joe Douglas has never been one to go out and spend money in free agency to bring in the big free agent, which I think he's missed a couple of major opportunities there. The good news is they have a ton of picks. from trading Jamal Adams in the first three rounds, which, if they use wisely, will help protect Zach Wilson, as well as give him some additional weapons to throw the ball to.
So across the board, when you look at what San Francisco, we've heard Mac Brown, we've heard Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and we're certainly not holding you to this, but if you had to put some nickels on who you think they're going to go with, where would you go?
I would say, well, it's not going to be Mac Jones. I think it's more leaning towards either Justin Fields or Trey Lance with the sleeper. I mean, I had heard right from the beginning, literally hours after the trade was made, they were going to. It was Trey Lance, and they would keep Garoppolo around for a year to develop him, which is what needs to be done with Trey Lance. Now, you know, there's connections there to Justin Fields. Obviously, of the three, Mac Jones is probably the most plug-and-play ready of the quarterbacks. But in my opinion, Mac Jones is a major reach with the third pick of the draft.
Yeah. Do you just to follow up on him too? I mean, you can talk about system quarterbacks, and when you're surrounded by that kind of talent that is just so immense at Alabama, especially at the skill position, does that sometimes mask how good of a quarterback you can be? And are you buying him as a professional quarterback as a first-round pick anywhere from 1 to 32?
That was my skepticism and my concern with Mac Jones. But then I watched him at 3 days of Senior Bowl practice, and I was at all 3 days. And it was like it was a seamless transition for Mac Jones, literally from the national championship game to Senior Bowl practices, where all of a sudden he was throwing to receivers that were complete strangers to him. I mean, it wasn't guys that he had been with for, you know, practice with Monday through Tuesday for months on end. These were guys that were basically flown into Mobile, and it was as though Mac Jones had been throwing the ball to them for, you know, years on end. The connection was there. And I saw the way he led the offense, and I saw his command of the situation. And I went from a Mac Jones skeptic to a Mac Jones believer. Now, while I'm a Mac Jones believer, I just don't believe he's worth the third pick of the draft. I think he's more, you know, 8 to 15 material at best. And I still think that that's a bit of a reach. But as we've all seen, you know, the past 15 years, quarterbacks are continually overdrafted.
If we get to the fifth pick and the Cincinnati Bengals take anybody other than, I guess I would go Rashawn Slater or Penei Sewell, then I think that ownership should be ripped from the Browns family, and I think that it should be given to somebody that can do something better with that organization, because that's the only options.
Well, I think you're half right, and the other half is even if they take Slater over Penei Sewell, in my opinion, that's a massive mistake. Penei Sewell is and has always been the top tackle in this year's draft. He is a terrific blindside protector. He was that sort of player the day he stepped on the field for University of Oregon. Granted, he opted out last season. I like Rashawn Slater. I have my concerns about him playing left tackle, which is kind of ironic, because when the Cincinnati Bengals selected Jonah Williams of Alabama with, I believe it was the 11th pick of the draft, I also had my concerns about Jonah Williams playing left tackle in the NFL, and he's never panned out for a variety of reasons. But I would agree with you. I think that, number one, Penei Sewell is still one of the best players in this year's draft. I have Trevor Lawrence rated far and away higher than anyone else. Then it's Ja'Marr Chase, and then it's Penei Sewell. So even at the fifth pick of the draft, in my opinion, on my board, and I would believe on most boards, you're still getting good value with Penei Sewell.
There you go. Tony Pauline from the Believe Network, podcast network. NFL draft analyst. So, yeah, I think, look, it's going to go that way. Number one will be Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. Number two will be Zach Wilson to New York. And then the fun starts at number three. Will they go Justin Fields or will they go with Trey Lance?
Well, I have a feeling it's Trey Lance, but, you know, I think a lot of people disagree with that. I think people feel like Fields may be the more durable choice. Who do you think's closer to that 49ers style of football, Fields or Lance?
I don't know enough about Lance to really project what kind of his skills. I mean, like, dude was tucked away there at North Dakota, so it's really hard to project what he could have done or what he was going to – or, you know, what his skill set is. I keep hearing his upside is just through the roof, but, you know, upside will only get you so far. Obviously, I think Zach Wilson would have been a perfect fit for San Francisco, but that's not going to happen. So I would say I would go Justin Fields.
It's hard to judge the more durable, like in any sport.
Yeah.
We thought Darren Williams was the more durable of between him and Chris Paul. Look how that turned out. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, I mean, honestly, one of the reasons why, if you want to go back and Larry H. Miller talked about this and Jerry Sloan mentioned it as well. Remember the Jazz were dealing, they took Raul Lopez over Tony Parker. They had Tony Parker on the board ready to go, and they went with Raul Lopez. And Lopez couldn't walk down the street without tearing an ACL. And so after that, you're like, okay, well, we got a bigger body point guard, or we got Chris Paul. Let's go with the big guy who can seem to be a little bit more durable. And we see how that turned out.
It worked okay.
I mean, it was good. And frankly, look, Chris Paul wasn't going to be in Utah for his entire career either. You know, so during the time he was with the Jazz, he was a really great player in this league. And then when he left the Jazz, things kind of fell apart for him.
Darren and Chris have the same amount of championships.
That's 100% true. And frankly, have about the same amount of success in the playoffs, too.
And Darren, for a stretch, when Darren was healthy, he owned that matchup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form Darren was ever the better point guard. But when they went head-to-head, it was Darren getting the upper hand more often than not. The late Tom Nosalke, when I was doing Jazz pre-half and poster in that era, he would always laugh because there were stories about how Darren would, when Chris Paul was in town, would have him over to the house and they'd have dinner together the night before the game and then whoop his ass the next night. And Coach always thought it was really funny because he's just softening him up. And then when he actually has a game that matters, then he goes out and beats him up.
I just find the whole durable thing just too, it's hard to gauge it.
Yeah. All right. Wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
New head basketball coach at Utah State, Ryan Odom.
How important is local recruiting, or is it going to be more national and international reach?
Certainly, you want to take care of your home base first and foremost. That's the most important to any school. You want to make sure that you take care of your recruiting footprint. Those are the folks that are going to be most impactful. They understand your university and what it's like to be a student there. You want to make sure you're reaching out to those folks that really care about Utah State. This is a contacts business. The better contacts you have, the better chance to be able to put a great team together. So I'm excited for the folks here in Utah to get to know my staff.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Putting on a nice little tidy bow on the show. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
So remind me who, I don't even know who, if I should ask you who's playing for Houston tonight or who's not playing for Houston. What's easier to answer?
I'll just give you the list of who's not playing for Houston tonight.
It's longer than who is playing.
Yeah. By the way, I've not seen an updated Jazz injury report. Yesterday, Ilyasova was the only player listed as questionable. Donovan Mitchell, of course, we know is going to be out. But the Rockets report looks like this. Probable John Wall. He's dealing with a migraine. But he's going to go. DJ Augustine out. Sterling Brown out. Dante Exum out. Eric Gordon out. Daniel House out.
So Olynyk is in. Kevin Porter's in.
Yep.
John Wall's in.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got a decent portion, I guess, of your starting lineup. But that limits you on bench. I'm looking at this.
And talent.
Well, if everybody's healthy and ready, it limits you on talent. It's a bad team. Houston's struggling. They're 10-2. They're 2-10 in their last 12. Right now, the Utah Jazz are an 11-point favorite.
I'd take the Jazz in the 11.
You're taking the Jazz in the 11?
Yeah.
How are you guys feeling? You want to try this? You want to try putting together a parlay? We have not missed yet. Scott, Lloyd, myself, every once in a while, we call it the everyday parlay, but it's become the every other month or so parlay. When we feel really confident, we have not missed on a parlay that the three of us have built this year.
Yeah, we've only done it.
We've built one. Okay. The three of us have built one. We tried to build one with Austin, and Austin lost it for us. Scotty, you and I are 2-0 on our picks.
We are 2-0. That's right.
Lloyd has only picked once, and he's 1-0. And we did build a parlay and won it. Well, I don't know. I'm just seeing if
I've got Scott, all the lines in front of me. If we want to do this, I can go.
I'm good. I've got one.
All right. Where are you going?
I'm taking the Jazz in the 11.
Okay. Let's see here.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah. No, I'm fine with that. By the way, the Knicks have won how many in a row? 7?
Yeah.
They're a 1.5-point dog tonight.
7-game win streak right now.
Taking on Atlanta. Give me Atlanta minus the 1.5. Snapping the Knicks winning streak. Ooh, I instantly feel bad about that.
Okay, hold on. Well, then, it's not locked. I've got Jazz minus 11.
Oh, you know what? Scratch that. I'm going to take Portland as a 1-point dog against Denver tonight.
Portland plus 1?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the number on the board? You got the 504? Just kidding.
Sorry. Yeah, no.
Can you just give me the number on the board?
Lloyd, what do you got?
I'm going to take, you know what? The Suns are going to lose in Philly. I'm going to take the Sixers to cover.
That's
three. Suns are favored by 3.5.
3.5, too, yeah. So you're going to say Philadelphia covers
Philly's
the 3?
Philly's going to win.
So Philly, is that minus the 3.5?
No, plus 3.5. They're a 3.5-point dog.
Oh, okay.
I like that. I like that one.
The Suns have been on fire. Yeah. They're going to lose. Yep.
Boys.
It's a good call.
Our parlay is built. All of us have perfect records right now. Let's not ruin it.
All right, big show coming up next. Before that, though, Andrew Reinhart, kind enough to join us here from Wasatch Medical, 801-901-8000. Can't emphasize this enough. If you're struggling with ED, Andrew, just get some information. Come in there, meet with a physician, and see where you're at.
Yes, that is a great first step. And a lot of guys come in, they do the assessment, they'll get the blood flow ultrasound, meet with the doctor, it's no charge, and maybe they decide that the treatments are not for them. They'll come back in a few years. That is totally okay. The acoustic wave therapy has helped a lot of guys. We use the two most advanced versions, the only ones FDA registered, backed by a Cambridge study, regrowing blood vessels, essentially, getting guys back to normal function in the bedroom. This is really all about blood flow. So the big difference here is pills treat the symptoms of erectile dysfunction, and we're going to the actual root cause.
I mean, the other options are essentially Band-Aids. I mean, this is treating the actual problem.
That's exactly right. If you're taking the pill, you're still going to have ED the next go-around, and you're going to be taking more and more of it. And the idea of these treatments is that you don't have to rely on the pill. The blood flows like it used to. Keep in mind, Therapeutic Advances in Urology conducted a big study. They called this the new standard of care for ED and showed that it can rehabilitate erectile tissue. So we know the science is sound.
801-901-8000. Take advantage of the free assessment. And then if you want to go forward, it can change your life. 801-901-8000. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Hey, tomorrow we'll be down at Elite Works. Excited down there in Lehigh.
Stay tuned because, Scotty, we have a fantastic opportunity for anybody that purchases a new build but comes in for that free rebuild.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Let's go. 801. Go to EliteWorks.com. I almost gave out Andrew's number again. But we'll be down at EliteWorks coming up tomorrow. Go to EliteWorks.com for more information. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Push the door, I'm home at last, and I'm soaking.